Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Well, welcome back, everybody. Glad you're joining us. Oh, I don't like that. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and we are this week continuing the conversation that we had last week about guarding our Christ-given identity. That's right. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy. It's guarding your Christ-given identity.
Well, you know, this makes probably five weeks in a row that we have talked about identity in some way, shape, or form now, including those that came from Christ for the Nations to sit and talk with us and share what they have been learning and growing through with identity and different aspects of it. And I think it's just fitting. This is the season we're in, learning and knowing who you are and walking that out. You know, we finished it. We kind of wrapped it up with the challenge that you had put out there about going and spending some time with the Lord, hearing from the Lord about what he says. And I hope that our listeners went out and did that. And really cool thing that you get to do with that, you know, Paul mentions it, and it's mentioned by several others, and you hear teachers kind of, some of them glance over it, some of them never really say it, but those are the things, the scripture and those things that God reveals to you are the very things that we're meant to use to combat the lies of the enemy. When you're told you're not good enough, that's not what the word says. That's not what God said about you. When you're told that you're never going to amount to anything, that's not what the word says. The word says that you're a child of the Most High God, that you're more than a conqueror, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And listen, I know people misuse that a lot, but I'm telling you, sometimes using that scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, is thank you, Lord, for helping me get out of bed today. Thank you for helping me go to work today when I don't want to go to work at this place that's ungodly and heathenistic and they all make fun of me for being a Christian. Thank you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. God gives you the strength to get up, to move on, to overcome, to conquer, right? To expand the kingdom of heaven. Remember, being a light in a dark place is not easy, but the light lights up a whole lot more dark.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as we're getting back into this, one of the pieces I think we need to explore is, why is it important to guard your identity? Well, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. But I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Christ came to give us abundant life.
Right.
The devil is the one that's trying to take away the light that we were given. He's trying to snuff out that light.
Right.
And so we've got to guard it. We've got to protect it, right? And that's an active thing. It's kind of like when you read Ephesians 5, and it talks about the armor of God, right? And if you go into Ephesians 5 and it says put on, if you look at the word put on and go to the Greek, that's an active tense verb in the Greek. Right. Well, an active tense verb in the Greek is something that begins and never has an ending. Now, maybe there's a lot of you out there that are much more scholarly than I have been over the years, But when I read that and I understood that that was a perfect tense verb, I was shocked. Because for many, many, many years of my life, I thought, well, by golly, George, I put my armor on and I ain't never taking it off. I don't need to do that every day. By golly, George. Well, when I read that and then I went and looked it up and I saw that it was a perfect tense verb, I was like, oh, Holy Spirit, I was wrong. I'm supposed to be continuously putting on the armor. I'm supposed to be continuously applying your word. It's not supposed to be something that ever ends.
Yeah. I'm
supposed to continuously apply it. I'm like, wow, the fact that you used Greek, I don't think was accidental, Lord, because there's no way to misunderstand what you mean by put on when I'm reading it from the Greek, because the actual verb tense tells me a whole lot about what he means, right? So
yeah.
I think that we have to remember that this is a continuous process, a continuous thing that we have to continuously do. It's kind of like when we're doing spiritual warfare. If you're fighting depression or you're fighting anxiety or one of those things, you've got to make sure that you're actively coming against the things that are coming against you. You cannot allow yourself to be overwhelmed by everything else, right?
No, I'd agree with that. I mean, that's kind of goes into, again, being rooted in the word. You know, look, we talk about different stuff, but think about it. Guilt, shame, fear, big one. This one's going to be real uncomfortable. Comparison.
Oh,
we like to compare ourselves all the time. And those things are the antithesis or the opposite of the things that the word says that we are, or who we are and how we're supposed to live. And it helps to question our worth.
Well, and social media doesn't help it with that.
No, it's
it is the antithesis or like the thing, the big thing that stirs the pot when it comes to comparison. Because you're sitting here and you're comparing your life to someone else's highlight reel. Because 99% of the world is not putting in their worst moments. Most people put in their best moments. They put their best foot forward. They want you to see their highlights of their life. They don't put down the low moments, the moments that they're trying to figure out how to pay for the vacation or the sacrifice they made, that they worked 78 hours for the last 6 months so they could pay for whatever, you know, or the fact that they're so far in debt that they can't even afford the house to live in because they're trying to live so extravagantly so you can see it on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. So,
you know, that's a great, I mean, let's pull on that for that thread a little bit further, right? So when it comes to going on vacations, we talk about, my wife and I talk about that with some people sometimes. I've talked with you about sometimes when we go different places. Well, we've established this routine in our life where what we used to do in the past is we would save up for months. In the meantime, we're planning a vacation, right? And when we hit that number, then we would start actually buying everything, right? We would buy the flight and then maybe buy where we're going to stay and then, you know, shop around for a rental car, all that jazz like that. Now we've switched it to where we don't just save up little by little, but we have it as a regular part of our when we're dividing up our money and our savings every month, that we take X amount and we put it into a vacation account. So we do that every single month without fail. We don't go on a vacation. Great, fine. We do. It's there, and we just keep plugging money into that. But I've had people when we've talked about where we've gone or what we've done in some recent ones, I've had people like, man, that must be nice to be able to go on a vacation. Must be nice to be able to afford to have the money to do this. And I'm like, wait, hold on. We don't just have money flowing loosey-goosey, like we're not millionaires or nothing like that. We just made a conscious effort that it's something that we want to choose to spend our money on. So we save up. And once we have it, then we spend it.
You know,
we don't spend it before we have it.
You sound like you've talked to a buddy of mine who's a finance major. I'm going to tell you what he used to do. I'm not going to name his name. But here's what he would do. And it's brilliant. Ever since he was young, and I wish I'd have done the same thing. I really do.
Right.
He began to put money back as a payment for a car. But he didn't pay it to a company. He paid it to a savings account.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to needing a car, he could go pay cash. What if we lived our lives just like you and he, where instead of living in debt continuously as a slave to the lender, instead we decided to be intentional with our money and we would save and only spend what we have?
I wish I would have did it when I was younger. I tell you, I believe it's, and I tell my wife this all the time, I believe it's something God has gifted with her and her family and the ability to do. And I'm so grateful that God brought her into my life, because we weren't. My family has been slave to poverty for a long time. Now, my sister has prayed for years, and we've prayed and broken all that off of us and all that jazz. But I didn't know how to do that stuff. I didn't know how to handle money. I didn't know how to save money. And through my wife, God has taught me how to do that.
There you go. So, you know, that reminds me of something that Kenneth Hagin talked about in his book, Authority of the Believer, that there's times where God's going to whisper something to one person. He expects you to be in a relationship with somebody else so that you can hear the message. And that even sometimes is where he's like, Vince, I've got someone picked out for you. Well, it's not necessarily that there's not anyone else compatible with you, but this other person has something you need. And so he's intentionally trying to pair you with someone that will complement you in such a way that it'll both set you and her up for success. You know, my wife and I are that way. Sometimes we're like, how in the world did we get paired up? We're so opposite. Well, we both need each other, because we're so opposite that we both have almost exactly what the other one needs. You know,
I get that. I get that. But I mean, so that kind of steps into the next thing, the next portion of what we've been talking about, and that we hadn't quite gotten there yet. So it kind of naturally has flowed into it. And that's, I mean, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's so important to have community around you. You need to be surrounded with people that remind you of what the word says, but remind you of who you are in Christ, remind you of your worth, right? You're going to have bad days. And I hate to say it like this, because you kind of need cheerleaders here and there, right? Like, you need somebody Absolutely. To cheer you on through some rough stuff. And I mean, just as much as you need them to be real with you and to not just be yes men or yes women, but you also need people to encourage you and to be like, hey, you got this, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and you need people to be honest with, to hold you accountable, to be vulnerable to share your struggles with. And there's no better example of that than when God pairs you up with your spouse.
Absolutely. You know, as we're walking in the identity that God gave us, the enemy will even try to use situations within our relationships as an attack against our identity and our identity as a couple.
That's true.
You know, as we were talking about earlier, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But God has given us life and life more abundantly. So we're supposed to guard our hearts, supposed to guard our minds, put on the armor. So we notice that the enemy is first and foremost trying to steal identity, but not just yours. He also, if you're married, wants to steal the identity you have with your spouse.
Yep.
Remember a story that I heard about a pastor long time. Well, I think it was a long time ago. And the pastor kept praying, Lord Jesus, I need you to remove this woman from me because she's hindering my ministry. I'm going to divorce her, Lord, you know, because she's keeping me from fulfilling my goal. And said, Lord, this is what I believe I need to do. I need you to bless it. And he was like, I don't understand why the Lord's not answering me. And then one day the Lord told him, son, why would I help you in your situation with your ministry if you're not taking care of the bride that I've already given you? And he was like, excuse me, it's her fault. And he said, the Lord said, like, if you keep putting the blame on her instead of taking care of her and her needs, why would I trust you with my bride? And
ouch.
And he was like, okay. And so he began to examine his heart, examine his life. Several years later, he's still married to his wife. His ministry's thriving because he began to pay more attention to the needs of his spouse and less complaining about what he thought she was lacking.
Mm.
It was amazing how things switched and shifted when he began to pay attention to the need and minister to her. What does the word say that men are supposed to do? Minister to your wife at, you know, like Christ loved the church, even unto death.
You know, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're supposed to be obedient to their husbands, but men are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church, even unto death. So there's a lot of dying. I think you just
hurt some people's feelings, Kurt.
Oh, I know I did. There's a lot of dying to self on both sides. You know, it's, I don't really think there's, it's not easy for either.
No.
So the reality,
I think it's hard for, it's just as hard for, I believe, for a woman to submit as it is for a man to, well, I mean, technically he's submitting too. He's needing to submit to the will and the way of Christ and be willing to take that position of, it's funny, I'd always been brought up in when I started hearing about the scripture about laying down your life for unto death for your wife. I literally thought that's what it meant. And that was it. That was the end all be all, right? Am I willing to lay my life down, my physical life down for my wife? Yes. Am I willing to get in an altercation to protect her? Yes. Am I willing to do so even if it means my death? Yes, absolutely. No problem.
Does it mean you're willing to let her paint the house pink if she's insistent upon it?
See, that's where I'm heading to next, bro, is, but it means, am I willing to die to my own self? And I'm not talking about the crazy stuff. I'm not talking about where she's out of order and stuff like that. I'm talking exactly about the regular stuff, right? Like, do you have to be the one with the last word? Do you have to be the one that's right all the time? Does it have to be your way or the highway? And so there's a lot of aspects to it that the reality it's a struggle.
Is we should ask ourselves, is it hurting the family?
Mm.
And if the answer is no, it's not a hill worth dying on.
Yeah, like painting your house pink, that, okay, there, look, yeah. There's a couple things that's going to do that's not good for you. Number one, it's not going to keep people from saying anything about your house because they're going to call it the Pepto-Bismol house. The other thing that it's going to do is it's not going to help the resale value of your home unless you paint it beforehand. So it's going to cost you extra money. But if you know you're going to be there and that's going to make your wife happy and content that every day she turns down that block and sees that big old pink house looking like a big bottle of Pepto-Bismol and that brings joy to her heart. Okay, fine. Whatever.
There we go.
I mean, now I would genuinely advise don't just lay down on it. You guys come to a reasonable compromise, right? Maybe some pink accents, not just the whole house. Because, I mean, you both have to live there. And it's not happy wife, happy life.
Oh, listen to me. I agree with that.
That's, it's not that's happy crazy. Wife, happy life for everybody out there. It's happy spouse, happy house. That means that both of you need to tend to both of your
needs
and wants and concerns. So both of you are required to do some work and be servant and serve one another, not one to the other only.
I would go as far as saying it's never 50-50. I hear people all the time say, it's 50-50. We got to get 50. No, no.
It's 110,
110.
Each party, I like that even better. Yeah.
Each party needs to be giving more than 100%. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You know, yeah. Because you need to give your 100% and then you need to be praying to Jesus. Jesus, I need you to help me. Because the reality is, you know, we're hard to get along with as men and women are hard to get along with for men because we're just different. We're made different. But there's a reason why we're made different because we need each other.
Yep.
Because each complements the other. And that's why the word talks about the threefold cord is not easily broken. It's not supposed to just be you and your spouse only. It's supposed to be you, your spouse, and Jesus together. Mm-hmm. And through the three of you, you know, he's that strength that when you're acting up, he's over here saying, hey, son. And then when she's acting up, daughter, come on. Because he will keep us both in line, right? Both the husband and the wife. And so it's a thing that has to happen. We have to have Christ in the middle. If we don't, we have a recipe for disaster. Because otherwise, the human factor gets in there and just kind of messes everything up. Now, before we get too far off on the left field, because I think we almost did, how do we guard our identity? How do we guard our identity in Christ? Now, there's some simple yet kind of powerful tools here. And I've got at least three things out here on my notes. I'll quickly read them, and then we can break them down.
Sounds good.
First one is staying rooted in the Word. The second is rejecting counterfeit labels, those that are not coming from Christ. And then three, surround yourself with people who will speak life and the Word of God into you. Mm-hmm. All right, so what does this mean? When you're staying rooted in the Word, that means you are continually keeping that Word on your mind, the Word of God. You're staying in the Word daily, right? You recognize that God is the one who created you, that he is the one that has the correct name for you, and that you continue to read it in the Word, and you declare his Word of God, the Word of God, over your life out loud. You know, it's kind of like the words of affirmation that the new self-help people like to do, but it's better because you're speaking the life-giving Word of God over your life, right? Now you're rejecting counterfeit labels. When the enemy tries to whisper lies to you, that you're broken or that you're really dead, that you're a sinner, what do? You remind them who you are, that you're a son of God or a daughter of God. And you say, no, I'm healed, or no, I'm saved, or no, I'm set free. You don't accept the lie. You speak the life of God, the Word of God over your life in that, right? That's why it's so important to stay in the Word like we talked about earlier. We replace the lie with God's truth every time. And then surrounding yourself with people who will speak life and the Word of God into your life. You know, if you isolate yourself like a hermit, that is a recipe for disaster, man. You're going to breed confusion. You're going to breed...
Community is important.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. You need a tribe. You need a group of people, some friends that will remind you of who you are and things that you may have forgotten about. Sometimes we need those memorial stones, like they set up with the children of Israel when they'd go and have victory somewhere, to remind us of the victories we've had in the past so that we don't repeat the failures of the past, right? So we don't need people who are just going to flatter us with good words and be yes men or yes women. We need people who will fight by our sides and speak the truth, no matter if it's uncomfortable or if we even like what we're hearing.
I'd say, you know, you hear the phrase that you need to renew your mind daily, right? Matter of fact, the scripture says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And you're like, well, that sounds great, but what does that look like, Vince? What does that look like, Kurt? it's like this. Take those toxic thoughts in your brain, right? All those thoughts that you run through in your head, and begin to replace them with scripture, with biblical truth. Right, those toxic thoughts that say that people have said about you, maybe you'll never be good enough, you'll never amount to anything. Okay, well, what does the Word say about that in contrast, right? So you have to declare that on the daily, on the regular. Here's some quick declarative things that you can say that are about identity, right? John 1:12, you are God's child, right? You're a child of God. Ephesians 1:4, you're chosen. You are forgiven. When you ask for forgiveness, you ask the Lord to come in your life, you're forgiven. It's Colossians 1:13-14, summed up. And all this is summed up into a phrase. You're not condemned, right? We're no longer living under condemnation, but we are now living as new creatures, right? So it's Romans 8:1, you are more than a conqueror. Again, Romans 8. And you are God's masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. All summed up into one little phrase. I know, nice and neat. Kirk's probably itching over there going, seriously, Vince, This is not guru, good help kind of stuff, but he also knows I'm extremely practical, and I love the 1, 2, 3, right? So I put it out there like that for you guys, just to understand that for those of you who are not like this and you don't need a list, that's great. But for those that do, this is also great. You need to have something that reminds you every single day. And the importance of digging through the word isn't just to replace the toxic thoughts, but it also gives you something to go digging for, right? Sure, you can Google things and find out what does the Bible say about my identity in Christ and all that, and you'll get a list of stuff. And it's great, but it does you no good if you don't read it.
Be very careful about the gospel according to Google or ChatGPT.
Amen.
You know, here's the reality of things, guys.
Not that we don't use that stuff to help us, but
tools are tools, but they need to be used right. as tools.
Exactly.
Not as a replacement for reading and studying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at this. As we close this out, some of you may be thinking right now that you're lost, that somewhere along the way that your identity got buried under shame, regret, addiction, or just the daily grind that you have every day at life in your life. Let me remind you of something. Your identity is not in what you've done. It's not your past. You are right. a truly loved child of God if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are chosen. You are redeemed. You are known, and you are loved. But you must guard that identity. If you allow the enemy to come in, he will do his best to try to steal that thing and make you forget of what you've been given. It doesn't remove the gift that you've been given, but he can try to make you forget about it. Every single day, stay in the Word. Seek after the presence of God. Pursue him like a valued treasure. It's no wonder that Jesus gave the parable of the man that was wandering through a field and discovered a great treasure. And when he discovered it, he buried it again, and he went and sold everything he had so he could purchase the land. Why? Because he knew that if he took it without purchasing the land, he would be a thief. Mm-hmm. That would not be good. So he went and sold everything he had so that he could acquire the treasure legally, so that it would be legally his. So we, in the same way, need to give everything we can with full pursuit for the kingdom of God, so that we acquire that treasure that he's buried for us in this thing called life that we have. And he's given each and every one of us a special treasure to hold on to cherish, to nurture, to grow. We're not supposed to hoard it and leave it buried. We're supposed to put that treasure to work and multiply that treasure so that when he returns, that we can provide it back to him, multiplied 10, 20, 100 fold. My desire for you is for you to remember who you are in Christ. That you don't allow the enemy to overwhelm you and overcome you, but instead that you remind yourself daily of the fact that you are a child of the living God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus, that you're the head and you're not the tail, and that you're an overcomer. All right. I know this is the uncomfortable truth. But if you don't fight for God and your given identity, the world will fight to define it for you.
That's true. I'll say this, and this could be my last little bit. Think about your name, and what does your name mean? And the fact that that gets told to you, right? The Bible says that you are given a new name. And when you become a believer. So now what does that mean? I don't know, but specifically, I don't know the theology of it, but I know this. I know I use my daughter for an example. Her name is Jamie, which is a derivative from James or Jacob, which means supplanter. Supplanter means basically you work for something that you didn't, you get the reward for something you didn't work for. Right. And that used to bother her. And I said, we used to tell her, honey, it's not a bad thing. It means that there's a lot of effort and work that we've put in, and you get to reap the benefits of that. And, being an oldest child, she's like, no. I need to work for what I, I'm not taking handouts from anyone. And it's not about handouts. And now she's an adult, and she's been an adult for many years now. And she looks at it and she goes, you know what? She's like, now I don't look at it as a disdain. I see the benefit, and I see the blessing in that, not having to strive and work for every single gain that I get in my life. But the fact that you and Dad have put in work and have sowed and sowed and sowed, I get to reap some of the benefits of the work that y'all did without having to go through the same exact things that y'all went through. And you're like, well, then she's taking from, she's stealing. No, she's not. Because that's the way generations should work. There are areas that we work and plow in that the generation that comes after us, it should be a regular part of their life, not something brand new that they've had to open up a whole new road to.
Oh,
Right?
absolutely.
So a great example of that is you find a plot of land and it's got all trees on it. You cut down several trees to make room for some land so that you can plant a garden. Well, three generations later, you still have family living on that land. That garden doesn't need to have trees cut out of it again and redone. It's already there. They've maintained it every year. They get the blessing from that garden for the work that you put in your time to cut down those trees and create that space for that garden.
Well, the word says a wise man sets up treasure for his, the generations and generations, right? That's not the exact interpretation. That's the Kirkish version, but it's children's children, right? So as wise men and women of God with a heart of the Father, like God the Father, because we're doing our best to reflect him daily, we want the best for our children, just like he wants the best for us. And so because of that, we'll do what we can to put our children in a better situation than what we're in. And whatever that means.
That's true.
Now, guys, we have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. If this has spoken to you, share it with someone that needs to hear it. And as a reminder, stay rooted, stay vigilant, and never forget who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Kirk, and this is Vince with me. Keep pressing into the uncomfortable. Grace and strength with you, and stay uncomfortable.
See y'all next time.